This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
Thank you very much, Mike. I think this first session this morning is called Setting the Scene. I think Mike's done a very good job, and I'm sure he's stole quite a few slides from the three of us sitting on the panel, but we will have our different slants on this. So, moving swiftly on, 2009, a very busy year. Oh, first of all, I should say there's a lot on these slides, and they will be available, as all the slides will be, on the Neil Stewart's website as from tomorrow. So a busy year, 2009, in terms of setting the scene for admissions. Can we draw breath? Well, no, of course not. There's never time to draw breath these days. So what I'll try and do is highlight some of the issues that that Mike has already highlighted in terms of the impact on admissions policy and practices, and relate those to SPAR's agenda in terms of good practice and professionalism in admissions. So the two themes I think that SPAR agreed some time ago now that we should concentrate on for the next few years were the use of contextual data in widening participation admissions and the applicant experience, the joined-upness or the smarter working, if you like, of staff in WP, aspiration raising, admissions, student services, marketing, the whole gamut, if you like, of staff, how you can actually make the student experience before they become students a key part of what the institution does as its strategy. And my colleague Dan will be taking a seminar on that later on this afternoon. So where are we in this changing world? Excuse me. I think everybody expects us all to be professional in what we do, whether that be academic admissions tutors, professional service support staff, etc. And the pressure on staff in all of those areas is increasing in what they do. And the outside interest, I think, is huge. It's not just the government and the media. Of course, it is the schools, the colleges, parents, and others involved or on the borders of admissions to higher education who want to be assured that what we're doing is fair. And I think there are a number of conflicting priorities when you have the national or administration-based policy initiatives. You have the 14 to 19 curriculum, but you have your own institutional priorities and policies as well, and actually sort of juggling those to get whatever the institution perspective is on all of these issues is increasingly complicated. And as Mike said earlier, we're all facing the downturn, the recession, the restraints, but basically it means there will be fewer funds and fewer resources for everyone to do what they do. But again, as in the higher ambitions framework, there is that need to ensure that we maintain a quality service and enhance excellence in that regime. So tough times, but there are plenty of signs for optimism in this. And I thought I had to put in what SPAR's doing in this area. We've been going now for 3 years, and our good practice policy statements are out there. We know institutions are using them. We're getting good feedback. We've got plenty more to do, but we can't do it without working with institutions and other stakeholders. But I think the key thing is the third bullet point, if you like, which is the expectation of fair outcomes to the processes that you use. They've got to be fairly applied by staff. Staff who have the skills and understanding of the ever-changing environment in which we work, and that those processes and policies that you use are monitored and evaluated so that you know that they are making a difference to what you're doing in your own institution. Of course, one of the things that's happened over the last two to 3 years is the delivery partnership and the improvements to the application process. The delivery partnership has now finished phase one, if you like, with a meeting in a couple of weeks' time. And a lot of those improvements, practices, have been implemented by UCAS. Phase two will be to review how those changes have had an impact, and that won't be for some time yet, because some of them, as you well know, are only being introduced this year, such as the demise of Route B for art and design applications. A lot of the policy initiatives are coming from England, and I am aware there are people here from all around the UK, so although a lot of what I'll be saying is focusing on England, I will try and draw in elements of what's happening in the other administrations as well. But I think one of the key things that happened earlier in the year was the request for widening participation strategic assessments. from both OFA and HEFCE, aligning with institutions' access agreements. How those are going to be taken forward will be discussed tomorrow at the conference that HEFCE and OFA are having, to actually see the analysis of those statements and to give some idea to institution of what happens next. And I know that there are elements of those that are likely to be taken forward in other administrations. Other things that have been active this year that are fed into the HE framework, the National Council for Educational Excellence, and again this emphasis on how to identify the best students with potential and ability to reach the highest academic achievement, but from whatever background they come from. And the NCE report for this current year will be out next week. But I'd just like to highlight one of the things that has come out of that, and I know there's people in this room who are involved in this, and that's the Realising Opportunities Project, which is a HEFCE-funded project designed to raise aspirations. This is for 13 research-intensive universities, looking at how is it that they can address this issue that has been identified even earlier than in the Higher Ambitions Framework, of what more support can be given to students to help them think about higher education, apply to higher education, and support them in that. And I think SPAR, although not involved in that directly, has had discussions with a number of staff involved, because what we're concerned with, there's likely to be good practice coming out of this that we can share, either in terms of what works, the methodology, or the good practice, with other institutions around the UK. Another key report that came out earlier was the panel on fair access for the professions, which really went backwards in terms of looking at access to institutions as well as looking forward into the graduate employment area. And again, there was an emphasis in there on the use of contextual data by institutions to assist with looking at how students can be supported into higher education. And lots of the recommendations were taken up in the framework. Universities UK, I think it is important to note, has set itself some priorities, again, two of which impact on admissions and contextual data, and I think they are the key ones in all of the discussions that this morning, and that is the social mobility agenda, the whole area of how to support students in progression to higher education. But I think the other one that I think is increasingly coming to the fore is the need for quality standards and reputation to be pushed by the sector itself to say that we are offering a quality product to those students out there. But we have to demonstrate that we have got those quality products, services and structures in place that underpin what we're doing. And Steve Smith, who is the chairman of Universities UK, was quite clear on that when he spoke earlier in September at the UK conference, that a lot of effort is going into this at universities, but we perhaps need to tell people how much effort is happening. Again, some of the things are here will be taken up later on in the day, but I think important to note that a lot of things have come out of the National Student Forum in terms of information, advice and guidance, particularly on progression to higher education, which have fed into to the Higher Ambitions Framework. And, of course, the NUS Student Experience Survey, which actually features a huge amount of student feedback on the applicant experience. And if you haven't seen that, I do suggest that you have a look at it. Another key area that was introduced in September, as announced in September, was what is it that students want? And that has certainly been picked up in the framework and also by HEFCE as a project that will be being carried out next year, looking in more detail again at what it is that students need to know about in order to help them choose the right higher education course for them. So moving swiftly on to higher ambitions, just highlighting some of the things. I know Mike has actually said a few things already about this, but I think it will have quite a lot of impact on what we do. No matter which government gets in, there are things in here that are likely to be long-term. Some of the detail might change and some of the funding priorities might change, but I think most of the detail will be carried forward. That's just my personal view. But again, it's this improving standards of excellence increasing pressure, equipping people with skills for the new global economy, social justice, social mobility, high-level skills. There's a lot of talk about that in the document. It is, as Mike says, long. It's 120 pages. There is Mike's summary. There is a 20-page executive summary on the BIS website. And there's been a lot of press releases from different HE mission groups about their views, initial views at least, on the framework. So there are a lot of things in there. There are six key chapters, 17 recommendations, I think, in all. The ones, I think, that affect admissions will mainly be Chapter 1, which is the wider and fairer access to HE, plus parts of Chapter 4, which covers the student experience. Mike's already mentioned the review of measures to widen access to selective universities. Obviously, a lot of this is very early days. This is only Thursday. It only came out on Tuesday afternoon. How responses are going to come to this is still to be played out, but there are quite a lot of things in there that is worth looking at. Partnerships, again, are emphasised. They do acknowledge that progress is being made by higher education, but more work is required. Again, lots of partnership working between schools, colleges, and higher education, and more to be done to build on those. Improved information, advice and guidance, and more encouragement for students earlier in their education to raise aspirations and get them more aware of what the opportunities are and the benefits of going on to higher education. and the likelihood that would be funded, which would be in a more direct way than previously. Again, the encouraging of use of contextual data in admissions and the hope that all universities and colleges will consider it. There's quite a lot of work that SPAR is doing on that. A paper is actually being considered tomorrow, for example, at the Admissions Practitioners Group in London. It's being considered at our SPAR conferences and will be covered again at our SPAR conference in December, building on what is going on in institutions at the moment so that we can share what's out there and the good practice that's being developed. The bit about sort of standard set of information setting out what students can expect in terms of the nature and quality of their programmes comes under the student experience chapter. And this, I think, is a very interesting area. All institutions now have entry profiles. We're up to near on 90% of institutions with entry profiles. But this is more than entry profiles. This could be perhaps linking to programme specifications, not in themselves, but the elements are in there, so that there isn't a huge need for institutions to reinvent a new set of criteria and data for this. The best use of existing data plus more to meet the requirements that have been set out here, I think, would be the way forward rather than starting all over again. I think two things that came out very strongly in this with the wider range of qualification backgrounds, vocational qualifications, the role of higher education in further education, and particularly much more emphasis on high-value part-time and work-based courses and a broader range of learning models. Now, if that proceeds, that'll have effect on admissions. And one of the other things it does say in the document that there is needing, in some areas perhaps, to be a culture change within higher education to accommodate these changes. Now, I know many institutions are already doing this, but not all institutions. And again, as I say, it'll be institutions going back and thinking how this can be fitted into their own institutions and strategies. I've put the web address on there. As I say, this will be on the website for Neil Stewart's tomorrow. And so you can have a look at it then. So one of the things that has become clear to us in SPAR, I think, is what do institutions need to work on to actually show and to know themselves that they have robust systems in order to deliver the policy changes that are coming forward. And again, I draw your attention to the quality enhancement area. Broader than the QAA code of practice, this is looking at the bigger picture, if you like, in terms of what admissions policy in practice can do within the institution's quality enhancement and assurance. Do you have the right IT systems in place to help you deliver? And I think that is a crucial issue. This is the whole of the applicant experience, you know, from widening participation, post-application, transition. Discussions now, of course, with paperless admissions within higher education, the different structures that institutions now have in actually making admissions decisions. How do you analyse the data that you've got? There's a rich stream of data that comes to institutions from UCAS, but there's plenty of data from the Funding Council, from DCSF, from other government organisations to help you look at the data that will contextualise admissions. How do you deal with that data? How do you track and monitor the students that come to you through widening participation, onwards through the application process and into the student records? How do you know that you're supporting the right students when they arrive at your institution? And a lot of this will be supported by IT systems and staff working in those areas who are, in effect, supporting decision makers and policy makers within the institution. And I think in all of this, despite the fact that there will be financial constraints, training and professional development are absolutely vital because of the speed of the changes that are happening, not just in policy, but with qualifications, your own institutional responses to this, absolutely vital that people know what their institution's policy and practices are on these new things that are coming out. So although this is a setting the scene, I couldn't resist putting in something about what next, and I think, again, Mike's highlighted some of these. The HE framework is important. There will be the Equalities Bill next year. There are the impact of the 14 to 19 curriculum developments throughout the UK. There is diversity and devolution, and each administration is addressing the similar issues in very different ways. There's the free review that's coming up, which will also have, no doubt, an impact on how admissions and widening participation are seen. There's the response to the Jones Review awaited in Wales. There's the debate in Scotland around tuition fees, issues to do with the articulation, a lot of other issues which haven't necessarily got the social mobility badge on them, but do come into that category. So there's a lot happening throughout the whole of the United Kingdom. So although these things have happened to just in 2009, 2010 is going to be just as busy. And I'll stop there, I think. Thank you.